T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky, broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Well, 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 the 49ers have made their move a little bit more aggressive today than they were yesterday when we talked an awful lot about adding a wide receiver. Let me just say, if you were listening to either Matt Kolsky or my talking points yesterday, you are on the money. Ray Ratto, how you doing?
I'm a moron. No, actually, I'm not, because we'll find out how good good Emmanuel Sanders is.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's still an awful lot to prove, but here
I didn't say they
is.
Shouldn't try to improve. I said they should shop a little upmarket.
The market came to them today. The market moved a little bit today. Emmanuel Sanders, the second wide receiver traded. The first trade, Mohamed Sanu going to the New England Patriots. If you happen to watch Monday Night Football last night, you didn't think there's a team that needs more points, but sure enough, they make that deal. The 49ers, with an aggressive front office, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, who's more responsible than the other? We know it's Kyle, but we'll talk about both of them being aggressive today. They got a player, Matt, that you and I both, I think, saw the best in. We saw an opportunity to improve today. It might not be perfect, but it's better than what you have, which means you're better today than you were yesterday, and yesterday they were 6-0.
And I'm fine with the price.
I like it, too.
It might be slightly more. I mean, I thought it probably could have got done for just a third, but maybe the pick swap is what you need to get over whoever else was offering a third, and I'm fine with it. It puts you in a nice position just in terms of going forward, because, yes, you've sacrificed that pick, but you're not married to this guy. You know, he is 32. He'd be 33 if you sign him to a new contract. I don't know that you're going to want to do that. We'll see how he looks. But he's instantly your best wide receiver. And look, if his numbers haven't looked as good the last couple years, maybe it's because he's older, maybe it's because he's had some injuries, or maybe it's because he's been in an absolutely destitute offense. So let's find out.
Right.
He's in a good offense now. Whether the quarterback's great or not, he's as good as Joe Flacco, the quarterback. And the play calling is much better.
Right. Beyond Lindsey, who was a real breath of fresh air for them last year out of their backfield, name me the Denver Bronco who's had a smash-up statistical performance over the last 2-3 seasons.
Cortland Sutton's playing well right now, but yeah, it's not a good offense. It's just not.
No, I mean, Vance Joseph was not a very good coach, so that also hurt them.
But he was also defensive.
Correct.
Yeah.
And Vic Fangio is very much a defensive guy. And I'm not saying that their offense is bad because of Vic Fangio. It's largely because they don't have very many good players. And I don't know that their scheme is particularly more retrograde than most. It's just they don't have athletes.
But it's not Kyle Shanahan's scheme. I think we can say that.
Well, you know, how many people are Kyle Shanahan in terms of offensive play calling? I'll give you 5, and then I will have to stop.
Yeah, and so I think that's a benefit for Emmanuel Sanders, is all I'm saying.
Perhaps. I mean, again, like I say, we'll see.
We will indeed.
Outstanding lineup for you today. We've got Jason Lockenfora joining us next. He's going to be coming up in just our next segment to talk about this trade, a piece of news that broke about an hour and a half ago. Peter King live at 4:30, Steve Kerr live at 5. We are going to bring you an uninterrupted commercial-free hour from 4:30 to about 5:30 with two of the best, Peter King and Steve Kerr, joining us today. We will have a Tuesday trifecta. There will be a Halloween candy draft. Yes. And that's maybe the most exciting thing we have in trifecta land all year. People are going to line up for that one. Again, the line today was to make a trade for wide receivers. The first person in that line, the New England Patriots. The 49ers now add Emmanuel Sanders for a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick. They get Sanders and a Bronco fifth-round pick in return. For Mohamed Sanu, the Patriots had to give up a second-rounder. Niners don't have a second-rouner to give. Obviously, you're not going a first-rounder for a guy like Emmanuel Sanders. Will Brinson, CBS Sports, writes, "It's a big win for San Francisco. Shanahan's offense has been sorely missing a true number one wide receiver. Marquise Goodwin, Dante Pettis are intriguing, but neither has become a true top-flight weapon. George Kittle should see extra freedom now that Sanders is arriving." Adam Schefter says that the Broncos wanted Sanders to play one more week with the team against the Colts, try to win that game to see if they could maneuver back into a playoff conversation, but the 49ers were adamant about getting Sanders and being on the roster this weekend for a critical NFC battle against the Panthers in Week 8. So the both sides hammered out a swap, which is probably why that second pick had to be included to make it all happen. But there you go. It's a move for a player who is off a torn Achilles. Like we said, production down, but who coming off a torn Achilles with Joe Flacco as your quarterback wouldn't see a dip in production? And just to let you know what his raw stats that he's been putting up in Denver would do if you put them on the Niners roster, which essentially this trade did today. So he's averaging, Emmanuel Sanders is averaging 52 yards per game this season. 52 yards per game doesn't sound like an awful lot. Doesn't sound like something you include two picks to trade for. 52 yards per game is 11 more yards than Deebo Samuel, who is the 49ers' leading receiver right now in terms of average yards per game. His 52 yards per game are about 1 yard shy of the per-game average if you added Goodwin and Kendrick Bourne's production together. And Dante Pettis, who I think we all agree has the signs of a decent NFL player about him. He has flashed a bit, not nearly as consistency as you'd like, but consistency is one of the hardest things for a young wide receiver to be. We all expect Dante Pettis to end up playing a big role in whatever offense this team has, but here's the raw truth of it. Dante Pettis is averaging 13.8 yards per game receiving.
And I just add to this that Emmanuel Sanders' averages are depressed by the fact that two games he missed most of. So if you just count the five games where he played the whole game, he's averaging 71.6 yards per game.
That's a gaudy number for this receiving core.
For this receiving core, it's huge. And again, that's in a less productive offense, generally speaking, and a less creatively coached offense. The other nice thing about Sanders, and I've heard a few people mention this just listening to some analysis of the trade, he's the sort of guy that you can put anywhere. Kyle Shanahan loves a Swiss Army knife, right? Emmanuel Sanders can play the slot. He can play outside. He can run deep routes, although maybe not as effectively as he could 5 years ago. And he can get across the middle and be a possession receiver for you. And he's still, even though he's a year or two older, he's more explosive than a guy like Mohamed Sanu.
I love live radio. Seriously.
Like, I give up. Why?
I had a whole show prepped, ready to go for today, assuming that we were just going to go in the direction that we were planning it, and then boom. 49ers do something to let you know that they are very much bought into the fact that they are 6-0.
What'd you say yesterday? They struck gold, and they need to act like it, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, this is no longer prospects figuring it out who's going to emerge from the pack. You know who emerged from the pack? You did. As a franchise, so you might as well make hay while the sun is shining, and the sun is shining on the San Francisco 49ers. What do you think of the trade? Giving up too much? The right price? How do you feel? 888 957-9570 is the number. A great setup today. Peter King at 4:30, Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock, a Tuesday trifecta at 5:30. We're going to get your phone calls in here, and we're also going to get Jason Lockenfora in next, our Radio.com NFL insider. We're looking forward to talking to him. Lockenfora had Sanders going to the 49ers earlier this morning. I mean, he called this out before Adam Schefter had it. He called it out like he was listening to, like I said, me and Matt yesterday and ignoring Ray Ratto completely. He was all over this.
He's better than I am.
Totally. What a great human being compared to
Oh, I'm scum. I'm completely fine with that. I'm completely fine with being wrong about this because I'm not
good,
invested.
Because you are.
No, I'm not wrong yet.
I'm excited we get to find out, though.
No, I mean, yeah, it's just, and if I'm wrong, then I should be fired, and I'll just live in the street.
Now, here's the thing. If Keenan Allen goes tomorrow, the patience that you exercised or cautioned everyone to maybe think about using, well, now that would make things officially interesting.
Yeah, but it's still, nobody's going to be right till the end of the year. And the end of the year is actually February, so that's when we'll find out what we find out. That said, Kyle Shanahan chose not to take my advice. I think it's a character flaw in him that will reveal itself repeatedly as his career goes on. But I'm also not invested. So
World Series starts tonight. Woo. NBA tips off tonight. Woo. 11 games tomorrow, and then the Warriors join the dance on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
We got the Sharks starting a 5-game roadie. We've even got an article about how the Giants are starting to narrow in on a managerial search.
Time to be alive.
It's a hell of an afternoon to do a little sports talk radio, and it's good to have you along with us. Time for our 8K per day cash contest. Your chance to win $1,000 by texting the code word DANCE, D-A-N-C-E. Do that to 72881 for a shot to win $1,000. Message and data rates apply. The man who had it first today was Jason Lockenfora. He had Emmanuel Sanders being traded to the 49ers this morning. It actually happened this afternoon, and he joins us next here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Back here on 95.7 The Game, the 49ers have made a move for Emmanuel Sanders. To talk about it, Jason Lockenfora, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, who was tweeting about this about an hour before it actually went down. Insider calls are always brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. And all of our guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Jason, thank you. You tweeted about this about an hour before Schefter broke it officially. What little birdie told you this was going to happen, and what'd you think of the move?
Oh, I can't tell you what little birdie, but it's a very reliable birdie. Birdie with a strong track record. This shouldn't really be a surprise. I reported on Sunday extensively on the wide receiver market how it was heating up well before the deadline, and that the 49ers, the Patriots, and the Saints were all looking to make moves and would make moves to some degree before the deadline, and that A.J. Green, Emmanuel Sanders, and Mohamed Sanu are the three guys who teams are asking, you know, the most about right now. Two of them are already gone, and we're barely 48 hours from that, and we'll see if Mike Brown wakes up, realizes it's 2019, you are allowed to make trades in the NFL, and his team is going 0-16 with the seven guys who other teams want to acquire from him, and maybe he gets with it and does something there in Cincinnati too. But the 49ers were big they were going to come away with one of these guys. There wasn't much doubt about that, and they liked the price for Sanders a little more than the price for Mohamed Sanu, and I get why they would do that given where they are in their program. I also get why Bill Belichick's not worried about the 64th pick in the draft right now when he might only have Tom Brady for a few more months. So, and then we'll see if somebody can crack the code for A.J. Green. And then the other thing that's going on is there's a lot of teams doing homework on Antonio Brown. And someone who doesn't get a receiver at the deadline just may be inclined to sign him. And, in fact, I would hardly rule that out.
All right, before we take peyote and go down that road, let's go back to Emmanuel Sanders. And not even talking about the fit in Shanahan's offense or the price that they paid to get him, Jason, what do you think of the player and what he has left?
Yeah, he's, I mean, look, he's been, the injuries have been a concern in recent years, but that's the same thing with A.J. Green. I think he's got a lot in the tank. I think he can win for you in the slot, and they can use him outside as well. Kyle will know exactly what to do with him. It's a pure rental, right, if it needs to be, and maybe if he leads them on a great run and they want to go in a different direction and draft a younger guy, then you got a compensatory pick that you could get back on the other end, too. I don't know what's not to like about it. Now, his attitude at times has rubbed people the wrong way, but we're talking about an 8-week showcase where he's out of that football purgatory. I mean, Denver's offense is a mess. It's a joke. It's terrible. And now he's got one of the brightest play callers on the planet working with him. They're going to feature him. He's going to be put in big situations, and he's got a chance to set himself up for his next contract. You don't have to manage him over a course of a contract. You got to manage him over a course of 8 weeks. So I like it. I really like it. And I wonder too if he's able to do something else. Like, I mean, I'm looking at Chicago. And, you know, Taylor Gabriel never gets on the field or doesn't seem to do it much. And they got Cordarrelle Patterson in the offseason who seems to kind of do some of the same stuff. I mean, what that guy did with Kyle in Atlanta was nutso. Like, I wonder, or are you like, if Dallas gets healthy at wide receiver, do they look at a guy like Tavon Austin, who, yes, he finally got a ball pitched to him last week, but is pretty much a spectator there. Like, do they see something in a particular skill set, a particular size matchup, a particular speed thing that Kyle can accentuate where you make a minor trade, and it turns out to be fairly rewarding as well? So, I applaud what they've done, and, we'll see if there's anything else to be had.
You mentioned three wide receivers that people were targeting, and you mentioned three teams. Does that preclude anybody else getting on that list, say,
no,
Keenan Allen from the sinking Chargers? I guess what I'm asking is, did New England and San Francisco have to do this now because there's less of a market than we think?
Well, no, it's a position of need all over the place. Like, there's a lot of highly motivated teams, and once Denver got embarrassed on Thursday and they could no longer pretend that they were in that thing, even with Patrick Mahomes being out a month or whatever, that they were ready to make a move. And so, and Atlanta's got nowhere to go, and Sanu wasn't seeing much of the field, and they've been getting calls for a couple weeks. So they were ready to go. I mean, why keep paying their salaries at this point? You know what I mean? Like, so that's why I reported what I did on Sunday, because I knew that by the following Sunday, the wide receiver market was already going to be picked bare when we got to the actual weekend before the deadline. Now, maybe A.J. Green is still out there, and again, maybe they just keep their head in the sand and don't trade him. I mean, I mentioned some of those other lower-key guys. I mean, the Chargers going into a new stadium and not much to sell right now, I don't know that they go that direction. I think the guy who would make the most sense for the Chargers to deal would be Melvin Ingram, but he's been hurt for about 4 weeks now. And I don't know that somebody's going to take on that kind of salary without knowing that he's going to be able to actually, you know, come out full speed, not have to worry about a hamstring, and go out there and help their pass rush. I've talked to a lot of teams about the Chargers. I've studied their roster. I don't see a whole lot there for them to do, to be honest with you.
While we're talking options, you mentioned the Bears. Is Allen Robinson potentially movable? And then also, while we're at it, with A.J. Green, is this a price issue that no one is meeting the Bengals' price, or are they simply not
listening?
They don't
make trade. I mean, they just are, like, philosophically opposed. Like, Mike Brown is very old school. And, I mean, even broaching the prospect of a trade with them, like GMs I've talked to, are like, it's like you're speaking a different language. they're like puzzled as to why you called. But again, they're terrible, and they're probably going to go to London. Well, they're going to go to London this weekend, and they're probably going to get spanked again. And then at that point, does the prospect of shedding, you know, 20-odd million a salary over 48 hours appeal to the owner? I still believe, at the end of the day, it might. Allen Robinson, I mean, the Bears are they're not going to sell the season. I mean, he's the best thing they have going in a morbid offense. Yeah. I think it would be more a guy like Gabriel, who's not really finding his fit there this year, who, you know, let's try to get a pick there for a guy who's not getting on the field. I think the big ticket items are gone except for AJ. I don't know that there's going to be somebody out there who nobody's talking about now, you know, who's a legitimate established veteran receiver who then gets traded on Tuesday. That's part of the reason that things were heating up last week to the degree where these trades were going to be done before the deadline.
Would you rule out the Niners still trading, say, a 2021 first for A.J. Green? Or are they done with
the big? I heard that they were much more focused on these other two than A.J. Green. Yeah, so I would be really surprised if they did something like that at this point.
Jason Lockenfora here on 95.7 The Game. So what do you think of the Niners and their standing in terms of a playoff contender? And what does this trade for Emmanuel Sanders do to your opinion?
No, I believe in that team. That game last week you just have to throw out. I think if you were able to throw the foot, if it wasn't being played in a monsoon, I think they win that game, you know, whatever, 30-0 or whatever. But I think they're a really good football team. There's no denying that. I the quarterback's got to continue to make some strides. They don't need him to be great, but he's got to be good. And this is they drastically needed some other piece to kind of give Kyle one other toy to play with there, at least in terms of how he can attack teams, what they can do with different formations. They just didn't have enough wide receivers that, you know what I mean, they could really trust.
Who do you think's the immediate beneficiary in the offense? Another wide receiver or Kittle?
No, I think if you have him and Kittle in the slot, like, you're really picking your poison now. So I think Kittle benefits. I think it's Jimmy Garoppolo should be, you know, the prime beneficiary. And then they get their left tackle back. And I know, you start planning these things out and then something crazy happens because it's the NFL. But, you could start to see the makings of an offense that maybe does take off more in the second half of the season.
What is there any assumption to be made from the fact that New England got Sanu before the 49ers got Sanders? And by that I mean, was Sanu the more appealing, or was this San Francisco focused on Sanders and New England focused on Sanu the whole time?
Well, if San Francisco was willing to give up a 2 for Sanu, I think that, you know what I mean? I think that would have happened.
They don't have
a
2.
They're talking, it's not like either thing's happening in a vacuum, you know what I mean? They're doubling. This has been going on for a while. You're checking in. Where do you stand? Are you ready to do this? You know, what are you thinking? Yeah, you know, he's one of the two guys we really want. What are you willing to do? And so you're working, you know, both teams at the same time, knowing you're comfortable with either player. You know, the Sanders has been banged up a lot, so you weren't going to have to give up as much for him. I think just given where he is in his career, right? He's a little older, and he's even as recently as Thursday, there were questions about whether he was going to play in that game against Kansas City. So when you factored that in, you were going to be able to get him a little bit cheaper. The fact that Kyle had worked with Sanu matters, but, like, he's worked with a ton of receivers, you know what I mean? And he knows that position inside out from when he was receiver position coach. And he knows what works in his scheme and what we're lacking right now. And I think they were super comfortable with either guy, but this price is not as steep. And I totally get it. And also, this is a pure rental. The other guy, you know what I mean, he's got another year in his contract, which is also part of the reason why he was a little bit more expensive.
So, obviously, the Niner defense has not suffered from their personnel losses, but they have taken some. Do you think they're even considering adding someone to bolster at least the depth of that defense?
I mean, there hasn't been much that's happened in this league the last, 18 months, you know what I mean, that they haven't at least kicked the tires on, you know, whether it's Odell Beckham, whether it's Khalil Mack. We saw them pull off a Garoppolo trade. We saw, the D Ford thing. So, look, they're proactive. They're aggressive. They're not one of these teams that's scared of their own shadow. But they're also not at a point in the program where they can throw around first and second round picks, you know, the way maybe the Saints can and the way maybe the Patriots can when you're talking about, you know, quarterbacks who are pushing 45. So, no, nothing. If they made another move, it would not surprise me.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Jason Lockenfora. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Jason, thank you very much. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I mean, I think less than we've had in the last couple of years, because I do see that there are guys in our building that I do think the answers are here. It was tough not having Debo last week, you know, Keese being a little bit banged up. We'll get both of those two back. The guys we have, I still think, can continue to get better. And, you know, we're still holding out hopes, too, for Jalen and Trent Taylor that they can heal up and hopefully return later this year. So always looking to improve, though, like you said. But I do like the guys we have here.
Oh, what a difference a day makes. Unbelievable. Welcome back, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. So Kyle Shanahan just yesterday was saying, you know, we're going to figure this out in-house, publicly. We're not looking to make a move. Don't you worry about that. We're going to figure it out from the inside out. We were just talking to Jason Lock and Four about the trade for Emmanuel Sanders that was consummated about an hour and a half before we hopped on this afternoon here on 95.7 The Game. So the 49ers made their move. What it is going to mean for them? Well, only the future is going to reveal what actually happens. Look, I like it. I'm not worried about the draft picks. I'm not worried about that compensation. I'm neither should you be. This isn't a team that is several draft picks away from being something special. This is a team that might be one or two pieces away from contending right now. Don't worry about next year. Don't worry about next year. Next year doesn't matter. I think we used an extreme example, like the defense could all go to vacation together and drown in a scuba diving accident this offseason, and there you go. You're right back to the, you know. So there's nothing can be counted on for next year. You got to do this now. I like the urgency. I like the aggressive nature of this move. And I like the fact that it's just more of the same from this front office. Really is. They've been aggressive in a lot of different ways. They've been aggressive in ways that never paid off in Odell Beckham.
Khalil
like the
Mack.
Move. Yeah, I like the move. They did. They kicked the tires on Khalil Mack. I like it. I like it an awful lot.
They don't sit around. That is the one consistency here. And whether you like this as an acquisition or not is irrelevant. The fact is that soundbite from Kyle Shanahan, basically, he answered the question four different ways, as any good coach would. And the other thing is they accept the fact that they're ahead of schedule and they know the dangers of being ahead of schedule, as the Rams are finding out now. You know, they're basically saying, I hope our foundation is built well enough. I mean, defensively, I think pretty much it is, but an injury here or an injury there changes everything. But you have to go for it when circumstances say you do. And sometimes you have to throw out the plan.
And so, I think circumstances dictated going for it this year, which is certainly early in the overall plan. Also, when you look at the Rams, if we're just using them as a comparison point, they went much heavier into the all-in basket than the 49ers have, just by virtue of the fact that much fewer of their central, much less of their central talent was homegrown. They went out and bought and spent money on a higher percentage of their key personnel than the Niners have. The Niners, if they retain the guys they've drafted and turned into productive players, I mean, I guess that should be a little easier than the way the Rams tried to go about it, and hopefully it'll keep that window open a little longer. But you have to go out and make some additions in other ways, too, and that's what they did again.
Well, and think about it. What are you looking at drafting next year? If things stay the same.
A wide receiver.
A wide receiver. O-line feels like, you know, you got to start planning for the end of the Joe Staley era. Maybe that Maybe that plan is already been accounted for,
yeah.
Thanks to Brunskill and Justin School stepping in and playing very, very well, knowing that neither of those guys were either of them were your third tackle to begin with, could still be Sean Coleman. So maybe that is a solution that just makes it easier to be a little bit more aggressive now. When you look at this defense, this is what's really exciting. Richard Sherman, one of the oldest players in the NFL, right?
Well, old for a corner, anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's not old in comparison to you and me, but he is an older player in the NFL.
I mean, he's 31, so I think people have maybe, like, in people's minds, he's older than he actually is. Because
right.
31, but for a corner, that's getting up there.
Yeah, and a corner with his injury history.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, because it's not how old you are. It's how many miles are on you.
Yes.
And there are a lot of miles on him.
A lot of tread off those tires.
That doesn't mean that he is deteriorating anyway, but the fact is he's played a lot.
Yes.
And he's played a lot of high leverage minutes, meaning the playoffs, which means that, yeah, there's 31 and there's 31.
Agreed. But I'm not arguing with you.
Right. No, he's not at the end.
Right.
But 31 seems a lot more benign than the amount of play that he's put on his body.
He is a future Hall of Fame corner who's already got 100,000 miles on his odometer, but you're certainly not ready to trade him in. I mean, this is not – he is old reliable. I mean, this is the car that starts on a cold morning every morning.
No, he's the guy who gave you credibility before you were ready to have it.
Correct.
I mean, he gave the defense – a level of knowledge that it would not have otherwise had, and if he wasn't here, this defense would be significantly worse, I would put it to you.
Including a 31-year-old Richard Sherman, do you realize that the 49ers, the average age of their defense is 25 years old? That's it. 25 years old is the average age of a guy playing defense on the 49ers. This team is built young. They are drafted right. There's going to be a lot of plug-and-play, cap-friendly decisions to be made in there. So a little gamble right here, not necessarily bringing in a big, big draft class next year is going to go good to the free agent dollars that you can then turn around and allocate because you don't have to spend so much money signing a full seven-round rookie draft class.
Now, most of that money is going to go to guys already on the team.
Yes,
but,
it is.
But nevertheless, based on what we've seen, that's okay.
This helps that happen.
That's right.
It helps that happen. Maybe you're not robbing Peter to pay Paul, but you're borrowing from Paul in the future to pay Peter now.
Yep.
That's a lot of biblical back and forth.
And if you don't like what you get with Sanders, yeah, it's a waste of a third-round pick, which is a bummer, but he'll be gone at the end of the year if you don't want him back.
It's a clean break for a compensatory pick.
Yep.
And somebody said, could you please ask, in which round?
The NFL won't tell you. The compensatory round. No,
you're right. It will be announced later.
Right. The NFL has a secret formula.
Yeah.
You can't know about it.
Yeah. It's very NFL.
Do we like you?
It has to do with contract value, but they make it a secret formula, so as Ray points out, they can screw people if they want to.
The New York Giants, it's at the top of the first round.
But it could be a fourth rounder, which is to say it could more or less equalize the second part of this trade, if not actually give you a benefit in the second part of this trade. Ultimately, you've more or less traded a third rounder for Emmanuel Sanders, and I think that's about right.
I'm not going to go and start predicting how you need to match up against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. However, should you be meeting the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl this year, you could see in full display, HD, Technicolor, at least that's the way it played in my living room, that Patriots team is really good. And the Jets, sure, they're really bad, but that was an extreme example of what are you chasing? Right now the Niners are chasing credibility. I think they've caught credibility. So now they're going to be, for the rest of the year, chasing playoff positioning. Well, they've already sort of put themselves in position to feel good about that. I mean, look, this is how crazy this has gone. It went from I wonder if they can win six games this year, to I wonder if they're going to be hosting a playoff game at Levi's Stadium at the end of this season. Like, that's kind of where we are.
I'd go one better. I'd say if they're not hosting a playoff game, I'll be a little disappointed in the results.
Yeah, sure, but I'll still take a playoff game on the road.
Don't get me wrong. You just want to make the playoffs. But where you're at now, I think you ought to be hosting a playoff game. 5-5 should get you hosting a playoff game, right?
I think if they're not hosting a playoff game, Shanahan or Lynch should be fired.
All right.
And the other one should take both jobs. No, I'm... Their standard is themselves right now. The playoffs, they're still a ways away, and they still have things they have to do before they worry about positioning.
Yeah,
and by that, I mean...
That doesn't stop me from worrying about it.
Well, okay, then good on you.
There we go.
All I'm saying is they're playing against themselves for the next few weeks. And by that I mean, are you the same defense that you've been against the good teams that you were against the crappy ones? And... how much better is your offense and how much different is your offense now that you have to donate more time and plays to the pass game than you have been? Because they have largely been not a run-centric, but a run-dominant team. And I think if you're going to go out and get Emmanuel Sanders, you're going to not only have to put him into the plan, it means that the other guys who are there get put in the plan as well. So there are going to be subtle changes to how they possess the football. And that's what they have to deal with the next 3-4 weeks.
Much more on the Niners, who have traded for Denver Bronco wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. Details coming up in an excellent hour, starting at 4:30 with Peter King, going right into Steve Kerr at 5 o'clock. We have a player acquisition to discuss, and we have Klay Thompson possibly vanishing for the entire year to discuss. We haven't even mentioned what I thought was going to be our lead story and the main topic of today's show before the Niners made a trade. Today we learned that it could be the entire year for Klay Thompson. Right move, wrong move. Look, there are the right times to go for it. The Niners are. And there's maybe the right time to pump the brakes a little bit, and that could be this season for the Golden State Warriors. It feels like they see that coming. What does Klay Thompson's expectations being laid before us by Steve Kerr mean? Well, we'll ask Steve directly at 5 o'clock. We're coming back talking about that next, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7, The Game.
So the human mind is supposed to gently roll into the day. There was something nice about a newspaper hitting your front stoop. You had to at least walk through your house after you found your slippers and maybe made yourself a cup of coffee before you started getting inundated with the news of the day. Now I know most people have their iPhone set up as their alarm clock. The phone goes off, you wake up, the first thing you do is open Twitter, you open Facebook, and you just start bombarded with news and messages, sports, politics, everything that happened overnight, pop culture, movies, everything, Star Wars trailer. Ah! Like, I mean,
is there a new Star Wars trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Today?
Last night, Monday Night Football, which you probably smartly turned off because it was
28-0.
Sure, yeah, there's a new Star Wars trailer.
For The Mandalorian? The Bounty Hunter show?
No, for the final Last Jedi thing.
Have you seen the Bounty Hunter show trailer?
No. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You're
going
to have to get Disney Plus is what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy. Sounds like another $6 a month.
Yep. Here but you're going to need it for the kid anyway. You know, you're going to need all the Disney content.
There. I can start...
Couching, it's an investment.
I can start couching my expenditures in Jack. Well, I'm trying to raise my son over here. Come on.
Don't you want your kid to watch Aladdin? Come on.
Yeah, I want somebody to read to my kids so I don't have to.
Totally.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
Everything you need is Sesame Street. After that, it's distracting him so that you can drink quietly.
Going back to a simpler time here, I'm really like, is there a way to just like find old Mr. Rogers neighborhoods that I can start parking my kid
PBS
in front of?
I bet PBS has them.
I just want old Mr. Rogers neighborhoods. I don't want any new Dora. I'm going to raise my kid with old Mr. Rogers and Fraggle Rock, just like I was.
Don't go too far back on Sesame Street, though. The first couple seasons are like very psychedelic and will teach your kid habits that are, shall we say, no longer appropriate in 2019, like walking over to the neighbor's house for cookies. You don't think about the stuff they did on Sesame Street, like, oh yeah, it's totally cool to wander around the neighborhood and talk to the guy in the trash can.
Like I said, these are different times we're living in. It's the perfect transition back to what I'm trying to set up here. We're not supposed to be inundated with news right away, but indeed I was. This morning I got up, I opened Twitter before I even got out of bed, and boom, I thought for sure today the number one thing that we were going to be talking about was going to be Michael Jordan saying
this.
Yeah,
he's still a great player. Not a Hall of Famer yet, though. He's not.
Michael Jordan today on NBC's Today saying that Steph Curry's not quite yet a Hall of Famer. The only thing that I was going to tell you about that is Michael's hard to please And also, if you could see it, the gigantic twinkle in his eye as he was saying all of
no,
that.
It was entirely a joke, because what he was saying this in defense of the four guys he would play around them, and they were all guys from his era. And basically, when they asked him about Curry, he says, well, he's not a Hall of Famer. Basically saying, I picked Hall of Famers. He's not one yet because he's not eligible yet.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So it was a joke. Yeah. He's speaking fact that people will turn into their weird truth. But the fact is, you're not a Hall of Famer till a bunch of strangers say you are.
Right.
And that's inescapable.
And if he was a voter and there was a vote tomorrow for Steph Curry, you better believe Michael Jordan would vote Steph Curry into the Hall of Fame.
First ballot he would.
So, it was a joke, which, of course, people needed. Well, because they need content, even if it's stupid, dishonest, and meaningless.
Well, again, you open
Hence
up
us.
You ding, 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 ding. You open up Twitter, and the first thing you see is just the quote in the vacuum that it hangs in. There is no context. There is no, well, he was joking. And now I've got our friends like, you know, Sam Esfandiari and Andy Lude, like, basically urging Warrior World Twitter to declare war on Michael Jordan, which is not, just don't do that. Like, it's so this is what happens when you wake up in the morning and you think that you know what you're going to talk about. And I thought that the entire show today is going to be 4 hours of us unplugging a controversy that didn't really exist. And then Steve Kerr said this to Logan Murdoch.
Generally, an ACL for a basketball player is a full year recovery. And if it's a full year for Clay, that puts him out for the season. You know, we've kind of left the door open in case the rehab goes perfectly and the doctors say he can go. But you know, the reality is on April 1st, that's the nine-month mark. He got his surgery on July 1st. April 1st is 9 months post-op for an ACL. It's unlikely that he's going to play this year.
Steve Kerr live at 5 today, and we will be talking about that, which, again, I thought was going to be our lead story. First, it went from Jordan on Curry. Then I thought it was Clay maybe missing the entire year. And then it has become Emmanuel Sanders being traded to the 49ers, and we'll get back to that at the top of the hour. But I do want to talk a little bit about Clay right here, waving the white flag for Clay Thompson's season. I like it. It's setting an expectation. It's smart. It's what the Warriors should do. All that can happen now is that Clay, his rehab goes smashingly, and he does appear in a season where you've been told he's not going to appear, and now it's just bonus. It's sprinkles. It feels good. It's no expect. It takes all the pressure off of Clay. It takes all the out-of-town scoreboard watching right out of the season. It doesn't matter where the Warriors are in the standings as far as the seedings in the playoffs are concerned. This is about Clay's knee getting right. That is the job. He will return when that job is over. It's the right expectation to set. Good job, Golden State Warriors. Would it suck to go the entire year not watching Clay Thompson? Yeah, that's a gargantuan disappointment. I love watching that guy play basketball so much that it's going to hurt not having him all year, but it's a pain that guarantees a brighter future. I think it's the right move.
Just, again, this what Steve Kerr said was about as meaningful as what Michael Jordan said. He literally gave you a series of facts. Klay Thompson had an ACL tear. Klay Thompson had surgery July 1st. 9 months from July 1st is April 1st. The NBA season's almost done by the time we get to April 1st. So, unless he has a faster rehab than normal, he's not playing. This is not new news. This is not Steve Kerr exposing the inner plan of the Warriors to bench Klay Thompson despite he'll be healthy, but they're not going to play.
They're tanking. They want to get back in the lottery. They're tanking. Oh, my goodness. You can see that they've completely gone away from their playoff.
And here's the thing. If April 1st, let's just say for the sake of argument, Klay is ready precisely April 1st to play NBA basketball. Whether he comes back is going to have to do with how the Warriors are doing.
100%.
Because if they've got 30 wins, if they're 30 and 40 when Clay's ready, he's not coming back. If they're 40 and 30, who knows? Or whatever, 42 and 33, whatever it is. Even if it's 8, 10 games left in the season,
if they're about to go into the playoffs, maybe he does come back. But you're not going to bring him back for eight meaningless games at the end of a lost season. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. But nothing has changed here. Clay's rehab is not off track in any way.
The fact is, we as a country have no patience. We don't want to wait the normal amount of time for anything to happen.
Would you make your point quicker, please?
Okay, fair enough. People suck. Back to you.
No, yeah, but it's the truth. No,
I know what you were trying to do. That doesn't mean that people don't suck.
You're right about that.
We don't want to have to tolerate the 82 games it might take for the Warriors to be interesting. We don't want to. We want everything yesterday, and that's only if we screw up and don't get it to us the day before that.
Well, speaking for myself, this is a situation where I'm with Damon. I do want patience, not just for Clay's health and the future of the franchise, but because there's a lot of stuff to figure out here. I want to see what D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry look like together for 30, 40, 50 games. I want to see, what does Jordan Poole have if he's forced into more action than he probably should be in the first 3 months of his NBA career? What can Eric Paschal give you? You know, there is stuff I can learn. The last couple years, I knew what we were getting, and it was either they really locked in tonight and they killed somebody, or it didn't look like the best effort, and who knows what happened.
Right, and they probably won anyway.
Right, and it didn't, and none of it mattered. And now, not only does every night in the regular season matter a little bit more, but I can learn something new about this team every night I watch it.
Guy in the text line says, Clay is an Iron Man. He will be back in March at the latest. Another text.
Shut up.
Rocco will help Clay to win another NBA. See, this is, this is the mentality that Steve Kerr is looking to unplug.
It's a fine mentality for the 650 texter. It's not a fine mentality for the Warriors franchise. So as long as Steve Kerr and the Warriors franchise have the right approach and Clay has the right approach, we're good. And fans can go ahead and keep predicting he'll be back in March because he heals at a superhuman rate. And look, Adrian Peterson healed at a superhuman rate. It's not impossible.
If there were ever a player, and boy do I mean this for the compliment, it's not going to sound like, but if there were ever a player who probably needed to be saved from his own decision-making in the terms of, yeah, I can go on this, it's Klay Thompson. Might I remind you, on the night he tore his ACL, he was ready to jog back on D as long as they settled into a 2-3 or 3-2 zone. He had it. That is insane. The Warriors dynasty, to me, the two most glorious moments were not cloaked in a championship. It was the 25-game run to open the year they didn't win it, and it was Klay Thompson.
The quarter.
Klay Thompson saying, I got you. We're going to Toronto for Game 7. I mean, that was just unbelievable. His free throws and him willing to play a little D in that moment. And Steve's like, well, no, we're not going to kill anyone tonight. We're not going to have that happen. And a timeout. But that's seriously one of the greatest moments I've ever seen with my own two eyes. I do, as much as I could possibly love a grown man that I cover for a living, I love Klay Thompson.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm a Claytheist. There's no doubt about that. And whatever he needs to do to get right, this is a sign of maturity. Are you willing to give up a little fun today to have maybe twice as much fun tomorrow? And that's what the Warriors are saying. We don't know what this season's going to be. But next year, with a totally healthy Klay Thompson, we could go right back to dreaming big, and that's maybe what we're going to do as we move into our 3 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.